This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And I encourage myself and you to fear none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah azza wa jal, your Lord, states in the Holy Quran. All those who believe, fear Allah. Fear Allah the way he should be feared, and do not die unless you're on the state of Islam. My brothers in Islam, after the end of the month of Ramadan, a beautiful, blessed month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us all to experience this month, and now for a fact that it is a grace and a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, that you've experienced another Ramadan in your life. And now after 29 beautiful nights and days in the month of Ramadan, we finish from the month of Ramadan to start another month. We finish from the month of Ramadan to begin a new month. And let me say one thing, my brother in Islam, that right now after the month of Ramadan, the real challenge and test begins. The month of Ramadan, he had everything easy, alhamdulillah. Not only that we fasted very short and cool days in the month of Ramadan, but keep in mind the shayateen were locked up. You had a very beautiful environment to attend every single night. Everyone around you and the vast majority of those that you know were fasting, so you were forced to be on the right path. But now after the month of Ramadan, what the shayateen had swarmed out, coming towards you and to get the most out of you, keeping away from you for 1 month, now they want to make the most out of you after the month of Ramadan. And now the environment and the nature of the environment had changed. When you no longer have people around you fasting the way they were in the month of Ramadan, now the real test and challenge begins. We thought the month of Ramadan was a bit of a challenge, but the reality is, after the month of Ramadan is the true challenge. After the month of Ramadan is the real test. How's your status after the month of Ramadan? You look at many Muslims now, and you could see them declining in their iman the very next day after the month of Ramadan. You see people start to drop in their iman after the month of Ramadan. People start to even neglect their salah after the month of Ramadan. People even start to fall into the haram after the month of Ramadan. People went back to their old habits after the month of Ramadan. Then what was the point of the month of Ramadan if we did not make a change in our life in or after the month of Ramadan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran Kareem, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah does not change the condition of people until people themselves change their condition. If you want your condition to change, then you need to change your condition. Don't expect change to come from outside. If you want to better yourself, you need to start making that change in your life. And not just wait for the month of Ramadan for you to make that change. It's about what's after the month of Ramadan. Where you are after the month of Ramadan. Where do you want to be after the month of Ramadan? Why do we see this phenomenon and this scene amongst the Muslims that after the month of Ramadan, not only they decline in their iman, but they plunge in their iman? People start slackening off after the month of Ramadan as if Allah only exists in the month of Ramadan. Where's Allah after the month of Ramadan? Where's the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal after the month of Ramadan? Where's the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the month of Ramadan? Allah exists in the month of Ramadan, after the month of Ramadan, before the month of Ramadan, before you were born, after your death. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there's no God except Allah. He is the everlasting one. He's the one that lives and never dies. Where's the reality of that in our hearts? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that lives and never dies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran al-Kareem, wa'bud rabbak. Wa'bud rabbak hatta ya'tiyak al-yaqeen. Worship your Lord Allah until you meet your death. Until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka Ramadan. Worship Allah when Ramadan comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. Allah orders. Allah demands. And He is the one that has the rights to command and order and demand. And He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqu Allah haqqa tuqatih. All those who believe, fear Allah the way He should be feared. And fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be feared is that you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single moment of your life. During every single moment of your life. Not that you fear Allah in the month of Ramadan, and then you're no longer fearing Allah Azza wa Jal after the month of Ramadan. اتقوا الله حق تقاته. Fear Allah the way He should be feared. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the fearing that He is deserving of. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that Allah Azza wa Jal commands you that you fear Him. For that, my brothers in Islam, it's so important for us to keep up and maintain the good that we started in the month of Ramadan. It's so important for me to continue taking those steps forward after the month of Ramadan. Be steadfast as Allah Azza wa Jal commands the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be steadfast, where Allah commands Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, the master and the teacher of steadfastness. And Allah Azza wa Jal says to Muhammad, He says to Muhammad, yes, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fastaqim kama umirt. O Muhammad, be steadfast. Yes, you Muhammad. Yes, you Muhammad. Yes, you are the prophet and the messenger of Allah, and you are the teacher and the master of steadfastness. And yet Allah Azza wa Jalla continues to command him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says to Muhammad, O Muhammad, you be steadfast. You, وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ, and those who repented with you. If Allah Azza wa Jalla commands Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be steadfast, and he is the master of steadfastness, what about us? What about me and you? What about us? Where do we stand when it comes to steadfastness? For that, my brother in Islam, it's so important for me to continue to relive the month of Ramadan after the month of Ramadan, and not throw everything that I've gained in the month of Ramadan behind. Because one of the worst actions that you could ever bring upon yourself is the good that you start, you throw it behind you after you've started it. Allah put you there. Allah put you there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to do goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to do righteousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to do the good deeds and actions. Allah chose you that you worship Him. When you pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, you pray because Allah Azza wa Jal chose you to pray. And when you fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah chose you to fast. And whenever you do a good deed, know for a fact, you are doing it because Allah chose you to do it. So be appreciative towards what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen you for. And the way that we appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen us for is that we continue maintaining the goodness that Allah Azza wa Jal had granted us. And there is no greater goodness than the goodness of the worship of Allah. You know, my brothers in Islam, worshipping Allah is a risk. Worshipping Allah is a risk. What does that mean? When you ask people, what's risk, sustenance or provisions to you? People say, sustenance to me is money, wealth, health, children, houses, cars. This is your risk. Yes, it's risk. But what else? What else do you consider or perceive risk to be? And people only look at the materials of this world to be a risk. But you know, you need to add something into that. You need to add something to what we just mentioned before, that when you worship Allah Azza wa Jal, it is part of the risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written for you. So not only that Allah Azza wa Jal decrees upon you the risk of food, and the risk of water, and the risk of wealth, and the risk of health, and the risk of children, but also part of the risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed upon you is the risk of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you see yourself worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and excelling in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing good in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that risk and gave you more risk in His worship than anyone else. So that moment that you pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, it is also part of what Allah had decreed upon you. That moment when you attend a gathering like this gathering, it is also a decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed upon you. That moment that you read the Quran al-Kareem is also a decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed upon you. That moment that you fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is also that risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written upon you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. We had favored some of you over others. We had favored some of you over others when it comes to rizq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored some over others when it comes to rizq, when it comes to sustenance and provisions. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed to provide you with. And that's why when we see someone wealthy, we start looking up to them and we say, wow, Allah Azza wa Jal had given him more wealth than me. I wish I was in his position. When we see someone with a lot more money than us, we start looking up to them and we say, I wish I have that risk. When was it last that you saw someone worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal more than you and he said, you know what, I wish I could become like him? We don't look at it that way. We only look at the materials of world. We only want more money in our life. We want more wealth in our life. We want more prestige in our life. We want more strength in our life. We want more prestige. We want more influence in our life. But when was it last that you looked at someone who worships Allah Azza wa Jal more than you and is more excelled and advanced than you when it comes to the worship of Allah and he said, you know what? I want to become like him. I want to become like him. And that's why my brother in Islam, keep in mind that the good that you do and the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal that you worship, it is part of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, and it is part of that risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had favored you over others. So appreciate the risk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what type of a risk am I talking about? The risk of worshipping Allah, because Allah favored you over others. Allah chose you to do this good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to do this worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to remember Him. My brother, just think about it. Who are me and you to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are we to remember Allah Azza wa Jal? Who am I to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm nothing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm the one that depends on Allah. Who am I to remember Allah? And who am I for Allah to remember me in return? And who am I for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward me? And who am I for Allah Azza wa Jal to give me the Jannah? That's why the worship that you worship of Allah is part of the risk of Allah upon you. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And don't look up to other people and say, why did Allah give him more wealth than me? Because maybe Allah gave him more wealth than you as part of the risk of Allah upon him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you another risk, and that's the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal upon you. A lot of those people are wealthy, don't even pray to Allah. A lot of those wealthy people don't even return to Allah, remember Allah. And that's why you find that challenge and competition amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the poor companions, The poor companions came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, complaining to him, saying to him, O Messenger of Allah, the rich believers, the rich companions had surpassed us. Had surpassed us, they're ahead of us when it comes to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal than us. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, in which way? So they said, O Messenger of Allah, they pray like us, they fast like us, they read the Quran Kareem like us, they remember Allah Azza wa Jal like us, but they have more wealth than us in the path of Allah, and we don't have that wealth. Look at this competition. They're not worried about them having more wealth than them, or because he's got a bigger house, a nicer car, and he's got more people, maids and slaves around them. No. They were concerned about the rewards they were getting out of their donation for the sake of Allah. So our Messenger of Allah, and this is the complaint that they lodged to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, saying to him that the poor companions are getting less rewards than the rich companions. The rich companions are getting more rewards than the poor companions. Why? Because they pray like us, they fast like us, they read the Quran Kareem like us, they remember Allah Azza wa Jalla like us. But the thing is, they donate because they have extra wealth. They have more money to donate for the sake of Allah. So they get more rewards in their donation and their charity. And we don't get any of that because we don't have the money to donate. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says to them, didn't you know that by you saying subhanallah, that's a charity. Saying alhamdulillah, that's another charity. Saying Allahu Akbar, that's another charity. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, saying la ilaha illallah, that's another charity. It's equal to the one that's giving that $100 or $200 or $300. So the same way that these people are giving their wealth as a form of charity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, also remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a charity. So saying subhanallah is a charity. Saying la ilaha illallah is a charity. Saying alhamdulillah is a charity. Saying la hawla wa la quwwata illa is a charity. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, calling for which is good is also a charity. Preventing from which is bad is also a charity. You encourage someone to do something good, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you that as a reward, like he donated for the sake of Allah. You discourage someone from doing something haram, that's also a charity. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, وَإِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةً. Removing a harmful object, something that will harm people on the path of people or the road or the street, is also a form of charity. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, when a man and a woman, when a husband and wife have intimacy and love, it's also a charity. So the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, people fulfill their sexual desire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them rewards for that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, if he did it in the haram, wouldn't he get a sin? So they said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, likewise, if he does it in the halal, Allah will give him rewards. Look at the amount of rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give. But then what happened when the other rich companions that have the advantage of having extra wealth to donate for the sake of Allah and get the rewards of charity for the sake of Allah, when they found out what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had told and mentioned to the poor companions, that by them saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, they get rewards. So these rich companions also, at the top of what they do and what they give for the sake of Allah, they also start to remember Allah and say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So the poor companions came back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and they said, O Messenger of Allah, now they also got what you had given us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. He chooses whoever he wants for whatever he wants. For that, my brother in Islam, that moment that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is part of the rizq. It is part of the provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed upon you. Likewise, when Allah Azza wa Jal opens the doors and the gates of wealth, alhamdulillah, I've got a successful business, I'm making thousands of dollars a day, and you are so overwhelmed and happy. And you say, alhamdulillah, look, Allah razaqni. Allah Azza wa Jal had opened the doors of rizq for me. I'm so happy and proud, and I thank Allah Azza wa Jal for that. You should be a lot more overwhelmed. And you should be a lot more joyful and happier in that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of rizq of the ibadah. When Allah Azza wa Jal opens the door of the provision of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to start changing our mindset and not look at the ibadah as a form of burden. We look at the ibadah as a burden. Salat al-Jum'ah, 1 o'clock, now I have to make wudu, drive all the way to the masjid, pray Salat al-Jum'ah, burden. I have to close my shop, few customers might come past, I might lose some business, I might lose some customers. It's becoming a burden. You need to change it. You need to transform that thought from a burden to love and joy. To love and joy. The ibadah must be in our life. The worship of Allah Azza wa Jal must be in my life, the most joyful moment throughout my entire life. That moment that I worship Allah Azza wa Jal, it is the most happiest moment in my life. It is the most joyful moment in my life. That moment that I raise my hands and say, Allahu Akbar, it is indeed the greatest moment for me to stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. Not a moment of burden. Again, do I have to pray 5 times a day? You know how many people ask me that question? Can it be 3? La wallahi, if Allah makes it 3, you're going to say, can it be 1? And if Allah makes it once a day, you're going to say, can it be once a week? And if Allah makes it to you once a week, you'd have said, can it be once a year? Subhanallah. This is the nature of mankind. This is our nature. So greedy. So greedy. Always want things to our advantage. And we look at things differently. For that, my brothers in Islam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in this beautiful hadith, and I want you to pay attention to this hadith. Pay attention to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in this hadith, man kanat al-akhiratu hammu, ja'ala Allahu ghinahu fi qalbih, wa jama'a alayhi shamla, wa atathu ad-dunya wa hiya raghima, wa man kanat ad-dunya hammu, جعل الله فقره بين عينيه وفرق عليه شمله ولم يأتيه من الدنيا إلا ما قدر له. Listen carefully to this hadith. And this hadith can open a lot of gates and doors for you. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام wants to paint the true image of this dunya and the akhirah. Where he says عليه الصلاة والسلام, whoever is so concerned about the akhirah, whoever has the hereafter as his primary and main objective in his life. In other words, when you say the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your main objective is Allah azza wa jal. Your main concern is the pleasure of Allah. What you want in your day and your morning is the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in this famous hadith, whoever is so concerned about the akhirah and about the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant him wealth and to become rich in his heart. So Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you something, not being rich with wealth, because being rich with wealth, it does not mean that you are rich in your heart. But being rich in your heart, it means that you are rich with everything. And the wealth that Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you is that contentment. That contentment that the most wealthiest and richest people are missing out on. That contentment in their heart, that they've got everything out there, but they're not content inside their heart. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever is so concerned about the akhirah, your main objective and goal in your life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal will make you so rich in your heart that you feel that you are really the most wealthiest and richest man standing on the face of this earth, and you don't care about the materials. Not that I'm saying being rich or wealthy is wrong. But being rich and wealthy in the heart comes before being rich and wealthy with your own money. And not only that, but the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, وَجَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ, Allah will organize your matters upon you. Your financial matters, your social matters, your marriage and marital status, your children, yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will organize this for you. Everything will be under your control. You'll be satisfied with your marriage life. You'll be satisfied with your social life. You'll be satisfied with your financial life. You'll be satisfied with everything. Allah Azza wa Jal will bring everything upon you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will organize and arrange everything for you. Everything is falling into place. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, not only that, Not only that Allah Azza wa Jal will make you rich in your heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will organize and arrange your matters upon you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the dunya, the entire dunya of its wealth and prestige and influence and strength, Allah Azza wa Jal will command the dunya to come running to you. So you become control of the dunya, not the dunya control of you. But on the other hand, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and whoever is so concerned about the dunya, all he cares about is this dunya, wakes up in the morning so concerned about the dunya, sleeps at night so concerned about the dunya, his entire life revolves around the dunya, it's all about the dunya, Allah Azza wa Jal, and the pleasure of Allah has no place in his life. Whoever is so concerned about the dunya and only concerned about the dunya and his goal is the pleasure of the dunya, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him poor and Allah will bring poverty upon his eyes. You find yourself, you've got all this wealth, but you're still poor from the inside. Still poor. You've got all these fancy cars and beautiful houses, but you still feel poor. Allah Azza wa Jal makes you enslaved to His creation rather than being slave to the Creator. And not only that, وَشَتَّتَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will divide your matters upon you. You have no control of your marital life. You have no control of your children. You have no control of your social life. You have no control of your financial life. You don't even have control over yourself. You are let loose. That's why, subhanallah, you've got all this wealth, but you're still not satisfied. You're still discontent. You find that you're not happy with your wife, you're not happy with your children. You find that everything's just so disorganized, in disorder. Everything's just all over the place. And not only that, then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ. And Allah Azza wa Jalla only give you from the dunya the minimal decree that He had decreed upon you. So you come out with nothing. If your concern is Allah Azza wa Jal and the pleasure of Allah and to please Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will make you succeed and gain this world and the hereafter. But if your concern is this dunya and the creation of Allah, Allah will make you lose this dunya and the hereafter. For that, my brother in Islam, what's after the month of Ramadan? Where's that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and link with Allah Almighty after the month of Ramadan? If you want to be happy, you want to be content, you want to be satisfied, you want to enjoy life, then that all comes through the pleasure of Allah and your concern must be Allah Azza wa Jal. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you in return. But once you disconnect from Allah Azza wa Jal, then you become the slave of the creation of Allah, when you should be the slave of the Creator, Allah Almighty. And huge difference between being the slave of Allah and the creation of Allah. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us the true slaves of Allah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen and hear. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر أشكره وهو الذي وعد المزيد لمن شكر وأصلي وأسلم وأبارك على النبي المعتبر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. My brothers in Islam, as I remind myself and you to fee number Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam encouraged after the month of Ramadan that you fast 6 days of the month of Shawwal, which is the month that comes after the month of Ramadan. And he says to the virtue and the rewards of fasting, the 6 days of the month of Shawwal, he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, anyone that fasts the month of Ramadan then completes and adds to it another 6 days from the days or the month of Shawwal as if he had fasted the entire year. Because for each reward and day that you get or the day that you fast, Allah gives you 10 rewards. So 6 days after the month of Ramadan, in addition to 29 days in the month of Ramadan, that's about 35 to 36 days, times that by 10, that's 350 to 360 days. That's the aim of fasting 6 days after the month of Ramadan. And fasting those 6 days, It's not necessarily that you must fast them consecutively. You could fast them one day yes, one day no, one day yes, 10 days no, however you want. You could fast one day yes, 2 days no, then one day yes, 3 days no. You don't have to fast them after each other. But the essence and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon fasting those 6 days and the secrets from behind them is what the scholars say. That continues your steadfastness after the month of Ramadan. You don't want to just come out of the month of Ramadan after you fasted 29 days and that's it. You stop and you don't fast anymore. So after the month of Ramadan, you continue fasting after the month of Ramadan so you could continue that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the aim. As the scholars say, and the purpose of fasting 6 days after the month of Ramadan in the month of Shawwal. And you could fast them however you want. And if you didn't fast them, there is no sin upon you. But it's something that's highly recommended that you fast those days and do your best to fast those days. Also, my brothers, I do remind you that inshallah, we want to relive the month of Ramadan together in 2 weeks' time from now. On the 6th and 7th of August, we'll be going inshallah and attending the UMA Brotherhood post-Ramadan camp. All the brothers are invited. There's more flyers to be given out. And inshallah, it's 2 weeks from now. So every single one of you over the age of 18, please attend to that camp. It's a good time, a good moment to get the brothers and the brotherhood together, inshallah, to relive the days and the beautiful days of the month of Ramadan, to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla together, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, and to remind each other about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the UMA post-Ramadan or Brotherhood post-Ramadan camp, inshallah, is on 2 weeks from now, not next weekend, the weekend after that. Every single one of you is invited. More details on that, you'll find the flyers to be given out on your way out, inshallah. So don't forget to attend the UMA Brotherhood post-Ramadan camp. And every single one of you is invited. And we look forward to your company. So once again, we could revive the spirit of Ramadan in our life. And at the same time, relive the beautiful days of the month of Ramadan, inshallah, together. 48 hours, a good environment to be in. So we could all continue to maintain the beauty of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, as friendship is so important, as Allah azza wa jalla mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, al-akhillau yawma idhin, ba'dhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the close friends in this world will become the worst of enemies in the hereafter, except those who fear Allah azza wa jalla. Except those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who fear Allah azza wa jalla will be closest of your friends in the hereafter. Those that feed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and encourage you to fear Allah azza wa jal together will be your closest of your friends and mates in the paradise. And I'll leave you with this final hadith, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, while the people of the paradise are enjoying their time in the paradise, some of them will start saying, Ya Rab, what happened to our friend? What happened to our friend that used to attend the mosque with us? What happened to our friend that used to fast with us? What happened to our friend that we used to sit down and remind him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We can't see him in the paradise. So Allah azza wa jalla will say to them, he's in the hellfire. But ya Allah, why? Well, you don't know what he used to do. You don't know what he used to do behind your back. So he's in the hellfire. So this friend of yours, they used to remind you of Allah in this dunya. And this friend of yours, they used to encourage you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya and please Allah azza wa jalla in this dunya. He'll say to Allah while he's already in the paradise, he'll say, Ya Allah, my happiness is not complete. My happiness is not complete until you bring my friend that I had in this dunya, bring him with me to be with me in my company in the paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take his friend out of the hellfire into the paradise because of the intercession of this friend. Because of a good friend that you had in this dunya. A good righteous friend that used to remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. This man will intercede for you in the paradise while you are being punished in the hellfire. So the angels and people will ask, will say, what happened to this man? How did he come and end up in the paradise after he was in the hellfire? Are any of his parents or any of his brothers shuhada? Did anyone intercede? Did the angels intercede for him? No, no. Did the prophets and the messengers intercede for him? No, no. So how did he end up in the paradise after he was in the hellfire? A righteous friend of his interceded for him to be in the paradise. So Allah accepted his intercession. Friendship. So important. So important that we choose our friends very carefully. We choose our friends And we are so cautious who we hang out with and who are with. I want to be with someone that will remember me in this world and remember me in the paradise. I want to have a friend that will always remind me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to have a friend that will only get me closer to Allah azza wa jal. I want to have a friend that will only keep me connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, my brother, in Islam, is so important that you choose your friends carefully. And that's why, inshallah, we want to be brothers and friends, close brothers and friends in this world. So we are together, inshallah, in the paradise.